Blog Talk Radio.
This is Moonlighting by Numbers. I'm your host, Alexander Creek, and this is my lovely co-host, Tracy Wallace.
Hey, everybody. Great to be here.
Yeah, it's great to be here, too. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. And tonight, we're really delighted to have animal communicator Elizabeth Lee back on our show. Elizabeth is a dear friend, and she'll be doing animal readings, and we'll be adding in our pet numerology as well. So if you're listening from your computer but would like to call in with a question, the call-in number is 516-590-0993.
And we are so excited to have Elizabeth back. She is such a magical friend, and we love having her on, and all of our guests do too. So just to introduce Elizabeth, she studied animal communication with pioneers like Penelope Smith and Carol Gurney. She received her master's degree in spiritual psychology from the University of Santa Monica, and that was in 2008, and she's a certified six-sensory practitioner trained by Sonia Choquette, as well as a certified Reiki master practitioner, and she offers individual sessions and energetic healings for animals, which are amazing.
All right, and with that, let's bring Elizabeth on the show. Elizabeth, hello there.
Hi. Hi, Alex. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
I'm really good.
Awesome.
I'm so excited. Yeah, we've been so excited all day for the show.
Yay, me too. I can't wait to see who we get to meet tonight.
Yeah.
I know. Me too. I mean, you know, you've been on the show before, and when you get into your mode or when you start talking about your work there, I noticed that, I mean, there's this power that runs through you. You know what I mean? It's like your voice is really strong. You're very clear, and you're really, you know, you're really good at what you do. So I appreciate it. And you're, you know, definitely one of my faves to have on. So
thanks, Alex. Well, it's super fun to
be
on with you guys because you're just so spot on and lighthearted and make it so much fun.
Oh, thank you.
We like that. So, Elizabeth, can you tell us, like anything recent that you've noticed in the animal field? Has anything shifted or changed? Or did you want to talk about, like, a favorite reading? Or what do you want to share with us about animal communication?
Wow. Well, let's see. Something that I always kind of notice some patterns that come up with, you know, different clients that come in. I sort of get I get handfuls of the same sort of situations to learn and sort of go deep into one area, and then it switches to something else. And what's been coming up for me a lot lately are animals when they're right ready to transition. I work a lot with clients who believe that they want to know if their animal is ready to go or not and what the timing should be. And that's what's been happening a lot lately, right at the transition point or right after the transition point. And those calls are always very full of spirit. I can really feel like a deeper energy in those calls. Something really big comes in, because when an animal's at that powerful point in their life and their transition, they come through really, really clear to get really specific information through. And it sort of like feels like midwifing to me, helping the people get the message across. And then when the animal's transitioned, sharing what they've been through or final messages or ways to connect with them come through. And I don't know, it's just a really beautiful process. It sounds like it might be a very sad time, but I find that there's a lot of grace and a lot of beautiful messages and imagery comes in during those transitions. So that seems to be a lot of what's happening in my business the last few months.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a way, I think that people, still our culture doesn't have a lot of support around the dying and death process. And, yeah. you know, you want to talk to your friends about it, but it's hard for people to really go there with you. And so a lot of people will call me in those times, and I just love to show up and support them the best I can and be the best conduit I can for their animal to share what they're going through. And it's really often not what the person thinks it is. You know, we have a lot of preconceived notions about how animals feel at different times in their life, and a lot of what I get is a surprise to all of us. So I think it can be really powerful and helpful for everybody, and I just feel really honored to show up and help in that way. I think that's a potent time, and I don't know, I really enjoy being of service in that way.
Mm.
And I love hearing your different, like, the different experiences you've had with animals, you know, because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it reminds me that, or anyone really, that they are also, you know, spiritual beings in a physical body. And so
mm-hmm.
and they have a whole, you know, they have a whole life, and, you know, like, they're contracted to do certain things, and just like we are. So, you know, that whole, the whole process where you're helping them pass over, you know, or transition
mm-hmm.
is really quite beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
It is, and I think, you know, you're really holding the space, too, for people.
Mm-hmm.
We've experienced that with you. You helped us with our dog, Molly, and it was so helpful. It just took it to a different level, even though through the sadness and, you know, realizing what was coming. But it was just
mm-hmm.
so powerful, and I know you've also helped my mom with her pup, and that just made her feel so much better. It's just,
mm-hmm.
It's hard to describe, but it's
mm-hmm.
so, like, on a different level.
Mm. Yeah, it's important, I think, to get different perspectives when we're going through something really hard. And
yes,
the animals
right.
bring in a very different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of people are transitioning lately, it feels like to me, and it might be the same
yeah.
with the animals. I'm not really sure, but that seems to be most of my calls lately. And I think, you know, there are just so many shifts happening that a lot of souls are transitioning to do work in a different way. And so it's being reflected with the animals, too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have,
yeah, that makes sense.
I know that I've asked you this before. I've just always really enjoyed your answer. So do you have, like, I mean, any sort of, like, recent sort of favorite or notable experiences with a client or an animal that you've had recently that you'd like to share?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, just because I think it's a good example of what you do, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I love the examples when there's a practical outcome that is helpful for people. I recently
yeah.
had a client whose animal needed to be at the vet for a number of days for procedure. And they were able to watch their animal through a video camera and talk with the staff. But they also asked me to help check in with him while he was, you know, pretty much in isolation, and just stay
yeah.
contacted with him and let him know how many days left he had. He wasn't eating at first, so I helped him with just listening to him about what he was afraid of and explained as much
mm-hmm.
as I could to him about what his treatment would be like and how important it is to eat because he'd be there for a few days. And he ended up eating overnight, you know, so that his people could calm down and relax and not be worried about that part for him. So I just
Definitely.
Stayed in contact with all of them. And it wasn't a big deal. You know, I would just check in with him every evening
yeah.
for 10 or 15 minutes and send him some Reiki and check in and email his people how he was doing. And you know, it wasn't a big deal, but it was a big deal because there was just a little bit of extra support for them during a time that was pretty scary. And, you know, our animals are like kids, and unless they get explained what's happening, they don't really know always what's happening to them on a practical level.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, staying in touch telepathically, sending energy and Reiki and being focused in your heart and sending pictures, and it can just be very calming and soothing for them. And then as a byproduct, the people, my clients, can also feel supported in that too. So I love showing up in those situations also. If there's a move, if some people are leaving for an extended time, or if the animal needs special kinds of surgery or care, things like that are really great times to call in a communicator for extra support, just so that it's not so mysterious and scary. You know, it can just smooth out those sort of unusual circumstances. Yeah,
I mean, there are so many practical benefits to what you do. It's not, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, which I just, I enjoy, I enjoy immensely. So, and I've always been fascinated with this subject since I was little, because I remember watching, like, on Animal Planet, there was a pet psychic when I was, you know, a super tiny child. So I've always been excited to, like, oh, my God, Elizabeth's coming on the show. You know what I mean?
Yay,
so, like,
me too.
Like, in many ways, that title is, like, really derivative of almost what you do. But it's so, you know, like, for me, it kind of opened the door to that possibility when I was, you know, when I was little, or reminded me of what actually can be. So.
Well, I think that kids really know it's real, too. I think we come in knowing that we can connect with the animals more than adults realize. And so it's just, it feels magical. It feels magical to continue it into adulthood, you know, like it just keeps us feeling that the world makes sense. But I think all the kids know in their heart that it's possible.
Right. Oh, yeah. And I was always reminded of that when I was little, too. You know, like, they have feelings. They can, like, they know what's going on. You know what I mean?
Right.
More than, like, cause, I mean, my mom, as you know, is, like, you know, the animal lover. So I always got that education when I was little. Like, yes, it's actually possible.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it makes the world a happier, more connected place. I love sitting, you know, one of my favorite things is just to sit, you know, Sunday morning, look outside in the backyard and watch all the birds at the bird feeder and at the bird bath and just sort of get lost in the natural world. It just, it helps us, I think, open our hearts and feel more connected to being human, you know. It just, it's a natural thing.
Well, it also helps to ground as well, correct? I mean, to sort of like ground yourself in the natural.
Absolutely. Just before I do all my readings, I always go stand outside in the backyard with no shoes. I stand in the dirt and the grass, and I breathe in the sun, and I connect with the trees and the earth and the sun. And right then and there, usually things start opening for the reading and from the animal, and it just keeps flowing while I do the call. So I always do that before I talk to animals. It makes a huge difference. Yeah,
I would do the same thing, but there's so much snow outside, so really don't be right now. So, come springtime, I'm definitely gonna stand barefoot in the backyard. But maybe when it's like 0 degrees. So,
well, you know, even when it's not possible, like if I'm inside and I can't go outside and I'm feeling ungrounded, I imagine that the sun is shining on me and that I'm standing in the earth. And even that helps. It doesn't take you as far, I think, but it does make a difference.
Okay. Yeah, I know visualization is pretty important. So when I'm doing, like, mind grounding meditation, I'm usually, like, sitting at a beach. And that, I know, just kind of, like, speeds up whatever. Like, it just helps me tune in a little bit faster when I have it. Just, like, when I feel the sun on me, when I feel the sand, that's always, like, my go-to. So, anyway. You guys, let me tell everyone your website. It is www, of course, guys, and then it's Elizabeth, that's ELIZABETH, and then how do you pronounce it? Is it IRLee.com?
Air, like the air you breathe.
Air. Gotcha.
Air.
So it's ElizabethAirLee.com, and that's AYERLEE.com, and then you're also on Facebook, facebook.com/Elizabeth, oh my gosh, you guys, I cannot have words tonight. All right, so facebook.com/Elizabeth Air Lee, and that's also Elizabeth Lee for the Love of Animals if you just want to Google search it. So, All right, guys.
And
then
also, Elizabeth,
yes.
You have a, I'm sorry, you have a page on Facebook for the love of animals, right?
I do. Hi,
well.
It's Elizabeth Lee, comma, for the love of animals. I just like posting little insights here and there and a lot of cute animal pictures. You know, just looking at animals helps raise our vibration and helps us connect.
Yeah.
So I just like sharing really sweet pictures or stories about animals there. So it's just a page for animal lovers.
Great.
And then Tracy, your website, creativeinsightnumerology.com. And then mine, of course, is hiddentruthnumerology.com. Just wanted to throw it in there because usually we do it at the end, but I've been getting caught off lately and I kind of like stumble over my words. So I think now's a good time to kind of plug everyone's stuff. So with that, would you like to take our first caller, guys?
Sure.
Yeah.
Alrighty. All right. So we have, and then we will ask for your pet's first name, because Tracy and I will do some numerology as well, and then we'll have Elizabeth kind of go first, if she would like. So, all right, caller 561-247 is our first caller here. Hey there, caller.
Hi.
Hey there. Can we get your, pet's name, and then any question, or what would you like to know?
Hi, my name is Stacy.
Okay.
And I would like to know about love. Is there anyone coming in?
Well, you know what? This is kind of it's kind of like our pet numerology show, but I think we can go ahead and answer your question. So let me grab your first name. What was your birthday, Stacy?
I'm 12/15.
Sorry, can you go ahead and repeat that for me?
12/16. You mean the year?
12/16. Yes, I do.
Yes. 72.
72. So 12/16/1972.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let me pop up your chart here. One second. All right. So you're actually in a ninth person year, which is talking about endings and completions. So it's almost like you're going to be wrapping things up this year to actually, because you're starting a brand new cycle of your life next year in your one person year. So I think this year is actually about either like resolving old relationships, or if someone new were to come in this year, it almost might feel temporary because they might come back into your life next year. It's not really time to start kind of long-term relationships this year. Timing just isn't quite right. It's more about kind of like releasing, letting go, cleaning out old stuff, getting rid of old stuff, because next year is about starting new things. So if someone new comes in and that's, you know, and that feels really good to you, the circumstances may not be quite right until next year. So does that kind of make sense for you at all? Do you find that helpful?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Tracy, do you have anything else to throw in?
Let's see. I would say to really focus on you and focus on you. Sorry, I'm getting the words here. So focus from the inside out and ask yourself questions about, like, you know, who do I want to come into my life? Have you done that? Have you put down, like, the values? And then have you turned and looked in yourself to see if you have what you're asking for as well, so that you can bring in somebody high vibrational into your life that you would like?
Okay.
All right, Susie. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
Me too, thanks.
All righty. Okay. So let's go ahead and let's grab 805-816. Hey caller, can we get your first name? 805-816.
Hello.
Hello. Hi there.
Hello.
How are you? This is Rosandra.
Oh, hello, Rosandra. How are you?
Hi, Rosandra. Hi, how are you all? I've missed you all so desperately.
We're good. We're glad you called in.
Yes, of course. So is my Chester. He's Elizabeth, he's going to go get his ball for you right now.
Oh, play, Chester. Chester's the miracle dog.
Yes, he is. He absolutely
How's he doing?
Is. He's doing really well. A little too well, maybe. My little chatterbug, I call him Chatterbug, but his name is Chester, as you know, doesn't quite understand that he's undergone any surgery or needs to be convalesced a little bit. And so the reason why I'm calling is because he seems to be jumping when he's not supposed to. And when I ask him to not do it, he's starting to pee inside the house now.
Mm.
So I'm not sure if the two are related or if they're independent of one another.
Where is he jumping? Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Rosandra, when or where is he jumping?
So he's jumping on and off furniture. Like, he jumped from the bed into the bathroom, and from the couch, he jumps off the couch. He doesn't jump on. But I see the third area where he jumps a lot is when I come home. It's like he's so excited I'm home that he's almost like, you know, really into it.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, I'll check in with him and see what we can talk about with the jumping first.
Yes, Chester, she hears you.
Huh. Are you saying he gets so excited he forgets that he's not supposed to? Like he said, I just want to go where I want to go when I want to go.
Yeah.
And he says it fast like that.
Yeah. He's a million-dollar dog that doesn't quite get it.
Right. I'm just going to explain to him that it's important for his body to slow down. The good news is he feels so good.
Oh, I know. Yeah, that's definite. His acupuncturist just loves him. He's when you called him a miracle dog, he certainly is. He's now featured in a veterinary holistic book.
They were able to
get him from beginning of injury to post-surgery and everything. She started with acupuncture early enough where she can track the difference between him that received acupuncture and somebody that didn't. And he's certainly becoming a little ambassador for a holistic medicine for pets.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's awesome.
That's such an important thing. He's going to help so many dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So many people open up to acupuncture.
Yes, he is. He's my little miracle boy. Aren't you, sweetie?
And one of the things he used to do when you had called in earlier, on an earlier
mm-hmm.
show with Elizabeth, is he would bark. Oh, maybe I shouldn't say this. He would bark. He would bark and bark. And one of the things you asked is for him not to do that when you were on the phone. And look at him.
Yeah, he's really good when he knows Elizabeth's hearing.
Ah.
Rosandra, would you rather have him wait for you on the couch so that you can pick him up and put him down on the floor?
Oh, anytime he's on the couch, I would much rather, yes. I've been anticipating whenever he starts, it's almost like who has the quicker reflexes.
Mm-hmm,
so if I see him starting to jump, I don't want to hurt him, but I'm catching him mid-flight and then sending him down.
So let's see if I can ask
him.
Yes, I'm going to ask him to find a way to tell you that you're going to be his personal elevator escort service.
Well, yeah, I am that way with Mika. She gets it and loves it. He somehow just doesn't do it.
Maybe she can help teach Chester how to do that.
Oh yeah,
you know,
it's always
great if we can enlist the help of the other animals in the house, because they're better at this than humans because they know how to do it already.
Oh,
so I'm
going
to
yeah.
check in with Mika and see if she can teach Chester how to do that. And it'll be like a challenge, like a new trick. And he likes the idea of learning a new trick. And we're all, can you learn this new
mm-hmm.
trick? And he's like, yeah, I can learn a new trick. So let's look at it like learning a new trick, because he wants to prove he can do that.
He just left the room.
Okay. Perhaps he's had enough. But I'm just going to check in with Mika and... Yeah, I'm just going to let Mika know this is her role, and she's more than happy to do it. And then before we end, I just want to talk to him a little bit about not peeing in the house, too. He goes, "You always remind me about this." This is always the deal. I'm always the one reminding him about this.
Well, when I say go outside, he looks at me like, what? What's outside?
So in those moments, Rosandra, just keep, I know you do this, and it's just a reminder. Just keep seeing him going outside to pee, just the visualization of that. Even maybe during the day when you're thinking that he might be peeing inside, send him a visual reminder to always pee outside.
Okay. Okay. Now, numerically, just a question. Do their names also have a year as far, like, what year is Chester in?
Well, you know his birthday, right?
Yes.
Okay, what is his birthday?
March 10th.
And you know what year he was born?
6 years ago, so 1999.
Mm-hmm.
2009?
Oh, 2009, sorry.
Okay. No, you're okay. All right. All right. Yeah, because mm-hmm. I was like, I wonder what his chart says. Here we go. All right. So.
Well, no wonder he wants to jump off the couch. He's in a 3-year.
Oh, yeah. Yep, he is.
Oh, year to play.
Manifester. Yes. So he's all about play.
Yep.
Ah, well, that makes sense.
And very social this year.
Well, you know, he's missing
good.
A four
no
in his name.
Like that.
There's
is
a four
missing
in his
four?
Name. Yeah, so, and he also doesn't
he's
have
a
four.
He's got a very long name, though, Alex. He's got
oh,
a very long
oh.
name.
Oh, really? Okay, I didn't know. Is it just Chester, or, I mean, what
his
is
his full
is
name is Chester Peabody.
Okay, all right. Maybe
is that P-E-A?
Oh, there is one.
Yes, it's P-E-A.
Body.
Okay, so there is one four in his name, but he's still in a four pinnacle, and so pinnacles represent kind of these like chapters in our lives that represent kind of a lesson in itself. And he's actually in a four pinnacle. And a four is actually about learning discipline and learning routine. Kind of, you know, like minding your manners is very much a four pinnacle kind of thing. And so, in a sense, yeah. So, in having to follow rules and kind of like being a routine, frankly. So, you know, if he's reminded to not pee in the house, he does it anyway. It's kind of like he's learning the lesson of this four pinnacle. Like, you need to follow the rules, Chester. You live in this house. Stop that. You know what I mean? So that's going with
it. He's also born on the 10th, right?
Yeah.
And that 10 is very powerful in that I'm pretty much going to do it my way. So
that one in energy.
Yep.
All my
so
kids
he has,
were born on the 10th for some reason.
Yep. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, so.
Oh, hello, Chester.
Yes. My little guy. Wonderful. Well, okay. Well, thank you so much. And, Alex, I'm going to make T-shirts and send them out to you.
That works much better for me, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
My empty promises over the years of making T-shirts.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry.
I'm just going to make T-shirts for all of us, and we're all going to wear them.
Okay. That sounds good. I'm very on board for that. So.
All righty. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye, Rosandra. Bye, Chester.
Bye.
All right. I was wondering if you were going to hear from Chester tonight. So that's awesome. And I was so glad to
hear. Yeah, I'm glad they called.
I was not expecting that. I was like, oh, we'll just work with the name. It's fine. I'm like, oh, okay, the whole birthday. Sounds good. I love when I, because it's pretty rare. You know what I mean? Because I don't really know when any of my animals have been born. Because they've all been rescues. So, all right. So I'm going to take this caller, and you guys both know who it is. So, Mother, hello.
Hey.
Hi. Hi, Mom.
Hey, Amy.
Hi, Amy.
Oh my gosh, I'm so happy to talk to you guys.
Hey, I'm
We're
so
happy
glad
to
you
hear
called.
You.
Oh, Elizabeth, I'm sending you a hug.
Oh, thanks, Amy. I'm sending you a hug back.
Oh gosh, it's so good to hear your voice.
Ditto. It's great to
and
hear Banda's your voice.
And Banda's looking at me like, Bandit is looking at me like, why are you moving? I was asleep.
Oh. Are you surviving the snow, Amy?
Yeah, we had 8 inches.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know what, that's just, you know, winter in Iowa, not that big of a deal. We had a late start this morning, so that's the positive side of snow is I got to sleep in.
There you go.
Well, I actually have a question, Elizabeth.
Okay.
My bandits did really well when we moved into our new house. I'm not peeing in the house. I think that's maybe your theme for the night.
No.
Yeah, I was going to say our theme was dark peeing, and it's okay. So,
and all of a sudden, when it got cold, he started again, and I had to start kenneling him because I kennel him when we're gone so he doesn't destroy this beautiful new house.
Yeah.
And he hates it. He hates it so bad, and I feel so bad putting him in there. So I'm not consistent locking him up.
Mm-hmm.
And then tonight, I took the kids out to the library and came home, and Mike said, he went upstairs and pooped in the hallway. So I don't know what to do. I can't ever catch him doing it. So any suggestions would be wonderful.
Okay. Well, when you mentioned kenneling, to him it feels like prison.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
So dramatic.
Oh.
I know. It's very dramatic for him. Let's see. The peeing and pooping in the house is one of the really hardest things to work with because there's so many things around it, and there's some things with animal communication where it just gets down into animal behavior, and you know, it's like we can share what we want and we can ask and try to make deals, and that's a lot of what ends up with these things are trying to make a deal with them. They want to do what they want to do. Yes, we hear you. So with Bandit, what I'm getting is it's important for us to hear him and what he has to say.
Okay.
He doesn't like it outside because it's so cold.
No,
it's so icky.
He does, yeah. He doesn't like the cold. He hates it when his feet are cold.
Yeah. Oh, those are some sirens.
Yeah, I know.
That's me, sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
It's okay.
I'll send a little love
I guess
to Bandit
wants the sirens to go off so that we know he's listening.
He's saying he wants his space for his bathroom stuff, and he's not willing to go outside in the cold.
So what are my options then if he hates the kennel?
I'm just trying to explain to him that the house is your kennel, which is why you don't want him going to the bathroom there because, you know, he won't go in the kennel because that's his space when he's locked up in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying to help him understand why it's such a negative thing for us. Because, I mean, we don't go outside.
Right.
It's like, you don't go outside.
Well, we used to back in the day, right? Porta potties.
So he never goes out in the winter? Does he ever go walking or anything out there in the wintertime?
Only when it's about 30 degrees. Then he'll go patrol
okay.
the yard.
Yeah.
But I don't take him for walks. He doesn't like it.
Uh-huh. He's showing me, he's asking for, like, sweaters or something if he's going outside to help
really?
Him.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
okay.
what I was thinking, too, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, right when we first started talking about the cold. So, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And I know it's a seat, too, because he will come in
yeah.
when it's
mm-hmm.
super cold out, and he jumps on the recliner that we have on the sun porch, and he, like, digs his feet, like he's trying to get the cold off his feet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm seeing if there's some way you could have an area outside that's shoveled and that's okay for him to use that isn't yeah. sort of, you know, deep in the snow or far from the house.
It's, he goes
that,
right outside on the deck.
Yep. Okay.
He doesn't go
okay.
very far. He's already using the deck.
Oh, good. He already does that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm just asking him again to use the deck and not the house, and that you'll consider maybe putting on a sweater or something for him so it's not so
okay.
cold.
Yep.
And I'm not getting a definitive, yay, hooray, what a great idea, or a no way, no how. I'm not getting either of those. I'm just getting an I'm listening and, you know, response.
Okay.
So kind of like with Chester, keep visualizing what it is that you want from him and
okay.
That's what's expected and what you're expecting from him, that you're expecting to not ever find anything in the home and that he will be using the porch. And that's kind of starting at that place, I think, is the best place to start. But if he can be a little warmer, that will help. And
okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then
sorry there
I,
isn't more.
I know, but should I just not use the kennel then? He hates it. He goes and hides when he knows we're leaving.
Yeah. I would not use the kennel. And let me just explain to him that you're considering not using it, but what that means. That means that he has
okay.
to be really careful in the house.
Okay.
That's the whole purpose. Let me make sure he gets that. Okay, so I let him know that if you're going to be willing to take it away, that means that you trust him and that he's going to be in charge of looking over the beautiful new house and to take good care of it. And his
oh.
energy kind of, his energy puffed up when I told him that. So
oh.
I would use that. I would have that energy with him of, you know, we love you and it's your turn to take care of the house while we go and it's your role and thank you and all of that.
Okay. Oh, my God. When you told me that it felt like prison, I just wanted to cry. Oh, my
yeah.
God.
Yeah. That's what it felt like to him.
Okay.
And that might be part of why he was pooping in the hallway.
Mm.
I wouldn't be surprised
okay.
if they were connected. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm wondering if I'm probably making it worse.
Yeah, I think things will get better when there's no kennel. Just
okay.
have that expectation of him. And it's an honor and a beautiful job for you to put him in charge and see how he does with that and play with it and keep reminding him of that.
Okay. All right. Oh,
let me know how it goes.
I will. Thank you so
okay.
much.
Okay. You're welcome. Enjoy your beautiful new home.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Tracy.
Yes.
I didn't say hi to you earlier.
Oh, hello. Well, I wanted to ask, is Bandit Bandit?
Yes.
Yeah, the five. You know, he's a five, though, right?
Oh,
the freedom.
I was thinking he was the six. Oh, that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, freedom. So the jail thing is even harder for him.
No kidding. Yeah. Oh. Okay.
Plus,
thanks, guys.
Plus, you know, sorry to interrupt, Amy, but when it's all snowy like that outside, that cuts down his whole outside life, too.
Yeah, his freedom.
Right.
You know?
Oh,
so that's part
okay.
of it, too. Yeah.
Okay, got it.
And
makes
so
sense.
Maybe the
yeah.
sweater help. What about, I don't know, doggy pads that you can put down that can pee when you're gone? Do those work?
I don't know.
Okay. I mean, I tried them with my older dog, and it didn't work, but I don't know.
You know what? I'll be willing to try it. You know, why not?
Yeah,
yeah.
You can train them to... Go ahead, Elizabeth.
I just get creative. Try that. Try whatever comes to mind. You know, use your imagination with this and make it into a sort of fun flow with your new ideas kind of things.
Okay.
It's like the kennel and the snow just keep them kind of trapped and everything's kind of shut off. But once
mm-hmm.
you open it up to him being in the house and maybe the puppy pads, maybe the sweater, it just starts energy moving and some. I think you'll be getting more ideas. And you'll see
okay.
how he reacts to them too and then go from there.
Okay.
Is there any sort of thing like puppy slippers?
I know.
For going outside?
That too.
Well,
do they exist?
Yeah, I've seen there was a Great Dane that used to walk by our other house that she, this older lady, always had like little slippers on him. So, you know what, whatever, I'll try it.
Well,
you
might
know,
really like that.
He might. We've never
well,
really
Well, if you try
about...
it, I want to see a picture if you try it.
That will be all over Facebook. Are you kidding?
Awesome.
Great. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks,
Thank
Amy.
You, Amy.
Take care.
Bye, Mom. Love you.
Bye. Love you.
Bye. And I just want to mention his chart for a moment, too, because I'm a bad son, and I've never really, I thought I looked at it once, but apparently I wasn't correct, because, so Bandit has a five expression, which is, you know, it's freedom, and fives don't necessarily like to follow rules, because it's just, it's kind of like about their own independence, and that independence is actually goes along with his one heart's desire, so... right away you have one in five, which is very much about sort of like exercising the ego and kind of doing what you want and expressing your, you know, just kind of your independence. But he also has that four personality, which brings in that responsibility. So I think asking him to look after the house is actually pretty perfect, you know, because
Good.
The four is very much about getting things done. And it's very much about following rules. So he's exercising his independence and his own basically will by doing that, you know, so it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool. Wow.
Yes.
Go Bandit.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's definitely Bandit, because, I mean, as long as Watchy just keeps doing that, you know, when he said it felt like prison, I was like, oh, Bandit, gosh, it's so dramatic. I feel like he gets very dramatic anyway, so. And I actually
very
would
good.
Like to ask... I actually would like to ask you a question, Elizabeth, if that's okay.
Of course.
So, I don't know if you'll get anything or not, but so I had this involves a pet who's actually crossed over, and it was a cat I had when I was little. And he ended up leaving home one night, and we never knew what happened to him. So. And it was pretty traumatic, you know.
How old were you?
I had to be in, like, maybe sixth grade.
And what was the cat's name?
Norman.
Norman. And what did Norman look like?
He was just a big, gray tomcat. His ears were all kind of scratched up and torn because he would go out at night and just kind of fight stuff and, you know, explore.
Yeah. Okay. So you never knew what happened? He just disappeared one day?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's so sad.
Okay.
All right, let's see if I can find Norman. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was.
But there's no time and space with this work, so.
Okay.
And where did you live at that time?
We actually lived in the old house that my mom moved out of, right by the school.
Oh, okay. Okay, can you tell me what color Norman's eyes are? Do you remember? Were they green or yellow?
I think they're yellow.
Okay. Was he kind of like round, like big, strong?
Yeah, he was a big, strong cat.
Okay. Okay. I can see him, and he's telling me that he was a wanderer and that his time with you guys was done. He said, what I was there to do was done and it was time to move on. He's actually showing a picture to me of like a hobo with a bag and everything. Like,
oh, wow.
Like his mission wasn't to be with a family forever, that it was, he called you an assignment, that his assignment was complete and he was moving to his next one.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So whatever feelings of sadness you have, it wasn't sadness it for him. It was completion for him.
Okay.
He's sharing with me his sadness that the humans don't always know that. Like it's hard for him to leave, but he has to because that's his timing, but the humans don't always understand it and they get sad and that makes him sad. So he's so happy that you asked. Oh my God. He goes, that's Alex after all these years. He's like, after all these years, we finally get to understand this.
Yeah.
He's saying, like, this is one of your beautiful qualities, that he says, is about wanting to know why things are the way they are.
Wow, yeah. That's so true. That's
yeah.
Very true.
Wow. Yeah, and he says, you were still young, but there was some sadness for him leaving you at that stage, but it was complete what he was there for. So let me ask what he was there for.
Yeah.
He said he was there to help you all stabilize. There was something about stabilizing with the kids in the family.
Yeah.
Being at a certain spot developmentally. And that once things felt stable, like he was a rock. He said, I was a rock, a solid rock. Energetically, and he could help ground and he said he was also teaching you guys about being tough.
Wow, yeah.
They were showing you it was okay to be tough and strong.
Yeah.
And that he left when he felt like you guys were all okay and stable.
That's perfect. Like, it makes a lot of sense. We had, that was when we were kind of dealing with my, you know, like, abusive, you know, ex-step parent at that time.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
wow.
Yeah, so, you know, and that makes a lot of sense, you know, teaching us toughness, because he was kind of a badass cat. Like, I just always thought, like, he's just going out and fighting people or whatever he's doing, exploring, wandering, just being an adventurer at night. So everything you said, like, resonates perfectly. And that just makes me feel so much better, because I thought that he left because it's all chaos. Like, I thought that, like, drove him away or something, you know?
Oh, God, no. No, it was actually the chaos that attracted him to take on your case, is what he's saying. And he says, remember that under all that toughness, his heart is so big and warm. I can feel his heart so big and warm. Like, that he can have that duality of both those things happening.
Mm-hmm.
He was like the secret agent cat.
Very much so.
Aww.
Very much so. Oh, my. Oh, wow.
I'm so glad you asked about Norman. I want to thank him for showing up.
Love the name.
He says, don't forget to call on him if you still ever need his help. He'll help you.
Okay.
That he's not gone so far. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, good.
He's not so far away. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, because I thought I was like, well, it's been so long. Like, I don't know. You know, so thank you so much.
Of course.
Wow.
Right. Well, yeah, that's something, okay, that's something I've always been wondering about, so I can't, like, reiterate that enough. So I was like, thank you, thank you, thank you. I super appreciate that, so.
Oh, you're welcome.
Right. Well, so I think we're done with callers for tonight, guys, so
okay.
I think we'll go ahead and wrap up. And then, Elizabeth, again, your website, it's ElizabethAirLee.com, and it's Elizabeth just like how it sounds, and then AYERLEE.com, and then you're also on Facebook, Elizabeth Lee for the Love of Animals. My website is HiddenTruthNumerology.com, and Tracy's, yours is CreativeInsightNumerology.com, and our Moonlighting by Numbers page on Facebook is Facebook.com/, isn't it just Moonlighting by Numbers, Tracy? I can never remember.
Moonlighting by Numbers, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
all right, guys.
And
any last thoughts before we wrap up here? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just want to say that we'll be back in 2 weeks with psychic medium Sarah Dillon also.
Oh, nice. Very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
How
awesome.
Fun.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thanks again for having me on, you guys. It's always wonderful to share with you and connect with your callers. So thank you so much for having me back again.
Yes, thank you for being on. Do you have any last wisdom to share with Elizabeth, with the animals?
Well, I think just like Alex showed so perfectly, it's never too late to heal our old wounds that we have from when we were little, you know, and lost our pets. That just comes up, that grief comes up with a lot of people, and I think people don't even realize that they can work with that and move past that and have new, better memories of their animals and, you know, clear up all those misunderstandings of what happened in the past, that's one of the greatest gifts that animal communication can help with people.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That was a great example. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And Elizabeth, again, thank you very much.
Thank
and
you. Have a good night.
See everybody in 2 weeks. You too.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Have a good night, everyone. Thanks, Elizabeth.
Bye.